Good morning, church. I am glad to be with you this morning. Thank you, Jeff and team. That last video, just watching the joy, the happiness in those kids singing, it makes you miss when we would get to be together. It makes you miss coming together in this place. As I stand here and I look at a very empty room, It's a little bit sad, but at the same time, we can be so grateful and full of so much joy knowing that we are still together as the church, virtually through this, and also just simply because Christ is who unites us. So I'm glad to be here this morning, and I'm glad to be here this morning on ABK Sunday. It obviously looks a lot different this year, a different setup, and we're coming to you in your living rooms. In fact, what I wanted to do was I was going to go down to camp and film my message there and bring you right to camp, but I'm not techie enough to do that, and I was having trouble with the camera and all that, so I decided that we would just do it here from Bethel this morning. So what I want to do this morning is I want to give you an update on camp and what's happening there this summer. But before I do that, I want to prioritize God's word, and I want to speak to you a message that God has placed on my heart. It's from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. And then after I'm done speaking, there's going to be a little promo video for Camp ABK, and then I'll come back and share with you the news and what's happening at camp this summer. Fact is, I love camp, and getting to go around and talk to different churches about Camp Oshpakoon is something that I enjoy doing. It's a passion of mine. Everything that goes on at camp, everything to me that camp is about, I just love. And I could talk about it. I could take the full 35 minutes this morning and just talk about camp the whole time. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to share these couple of verses from 1 John, and I wanted to look at those verses and also look at some lessons that God has taught me specifically through Camp Oshpakoon, and specifically he used camp to really show me the importance of these three things. So I just want to start by reading 1 John 3, 16 to 18. Before I do, though, I can't forget. Camp is celebrating 60 years this summer, so 60 years in ministry, and today is May 3rd, and that happens to also be my dad, Graham Lidstone, his birthday. So I wanted to wish him a happy birthday. I won't tell you his age, but he's much older than camp, or at least within 5 years or so. So I want to talk, want to read from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So in light of this passage, I want to look at three things that God has taught me, has shown me through ABK, and those three things are this: how important it is that we share the gospel, how important it is that we serve and we live a life of service, and how important it is that we live a faith that is sincere. So before we get into the message, let's just pray. God, I thank you that we can gather together like this virtually. God, I thank you for everything you bless us with. God, I thank you for camp, and I thank you for how you have used it in my life. And God, I pray this morning as we look into 1 John, you would just give us open hearts and open ears to hear what you're saying to us here this morning. Thank you for your love. I thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So first, the importance that we share the gospel. In this passage of scripture we read this morning, it starts out with this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. I want you to think about that statement. We know what love is, we know love because we know Jesus. The Creator, the one who was there at the beginning, came down to his creation, to his created earth, and was willing to die at the hands of his creation to show us what love is. You know, when we talk about the gospel story, especially to my kids, and I've talked to Jack, we've read stories and things like that about the gospel, about the cross, the question that he often asks, because he's in this stage, is why? Why did Jesus have to die? And the best answer that I can give him right now is because he loves us. He defines the very meaning of the word. We know what love is because we know Jesus. And this is something as Christians, this is something as the church, as people who know this love, that we should desperately want to share with those around us. You know, thinking about camp and thinking about the ministry we get to do there, there is a lot of opportunity for us to share this love with the kids who come through camp. And I've often thought about camp because there are thousands of summer camps across Canada, and not all of them are faith-based. And I've often thought that, you know, at camp, we have really nice scenery, we have a nice lake, a nice waterfront, our staff are awesome, our food is awesome, we have a really good place. And I'm passionate about camp, but I'm not passionate simply because kids come and they have fun and we offer a lot of great activities. I'm passionate because of the mission that we have there, and that is to present the claims of Christ. I often think how kind of directionless or how empty my job would be if it was not for camp's mission statement. And this should be what defines our lives. Really, more than any desire or passion we have in our life, our desire to share Jesus with those around us, our desire to share the gospel message with those around us needs to be number one. There's a classic campfire song that we often sing at ABK. And the campfire song, and it's also a song we sing in Sunday school. It's This Little Light of Mine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. The chorus goes, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's how the chorus ends. Now, there's a change that we've made at camp, especially around the campfire, because the campfire is situated, you look over the lake, and then on the other side of the lake, there's a big rock. So what we do is when we sing those last couple of lines in This Little Light of Mine, the chorus, instead of saying, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, you all yell out, just like a blowtorch, and then you're all silent. And then you can hear it echoing off the other side of the lake and coming back to you. And every time we do that, it gives me chills. And it gives me chills because it is a full camp of 100 plus people screaming at the top of their lungs so that, at least in our case, where we are on Sugar Lake, all of Sugar Lake can hear us, that we want to let our light shine just like a blowtorch. And may that be the saying, the passion of the church, that we want to let our light shine just like a blowtorch. We want to let it shine so bright that people can't help but see it. Recent numbers at camp, we do a counselor survey every week, and that counselor survey indicates to us how many of the campers who have come to camp are churched versus unchurched. And we have a great opportunity to share the gospel to a lot of unchurched kids coming to camp. Some numbers suggest up to 60% of children who are coming to ABK each summer are unchurched and unsaved, and they don't know a lot, if anything, about the gospel. And that represents to us literally hundreds of children that we can proclaim the message of the gospel to. I love planning events at camp. I love planning programs. I love planning fundraisers and budgets and all of that stuff, not because I love those things in and of themselves, but because I understand that they represent what we get to do at camp, that all those things have to flow together so that we can present the claims of Christ. I want to share with you an entry from my journal, and this entry is dated August 19th, 2012. So this summer was the first summer, I think, in 7 years that I was not able to be a part of the Camp Oshpokoon summer staff team. And I was in complete and total withdrawal. I was working here in the Sioux, and I heard that there was a need for counselors at junior high boys. So I asked my employer at the time if I could get that week off, and they said yes. So I was super excited. I brought all the energy I could, and I counseled these 11 guys for the week. And at the end of the week, I wrote this into my journal. And I want to read it because I want to share with you a little bit of the excitement and the passion and a little bit of the desperation that I felt in that week in getting to share the gospel with these guys, most of whom did not go to church or come from a Christian family. I said this: excellent week at Camp ABK Junior High Boys. Thank God for the opportunity to counsel the boys I had. Then I list their names and I listed a prayer request that each of them gave me as they were leaving that week. God, I pray that these kids would just be on fire for Christ and they would stay away from the temptations in this world that will drag them down. Thank you, God, for what I learned this week. I really am so grateful that you and you alone work this all out. God, I pray for these boys that made professions of faith. Help me be a good influence to these guys. Help me be selfless. Help me continue on in this living holy for you. And God, I pray that those boys would continue on living for you. I remember very specifically that week at camp, and I remember how excited I was to get to share the gospel with these kids, and I remember the desperate feeling as the week was coming to a close, not that it's on us to save people, but I remember that desperate feeling knowing, you know, a lot of these kids are going back home to situations where they're not even going to hear about the gospel, so we have to make this week count. And, you know, I think about that excitement and that kind of sense of desperation that I had for that week of camp. And I think about us living day-to-day lives. And, you know, as Christians, we should have that same sense of excitement and that same sense of desperation or desire to share the gospel with those around us. Fact is, each of us watching this morning, myself included, have tons of opportunity to present the gospel to people who don't know the gospel, who cannot know what love is because they don't know the very definition of love, and that is that Jesus Christ came to lay down his life for them. Many don't know that. Many we rub shoulders with every day don't know that. Co-workers, family, friends, peers, neighbors, whatever it might be. And it should be our desire and our passion to share this gospel with those around us. And we can do that in all stages of life. We can do that in health. We can do that in sickness. We can do that when we're young. We can do that when we're old. You know, I think about the announcement made this morning about Jasmine. And I just want to encourage you. If you have some time this week, which we probably all do, head over to her blog. I think you can find it through Facebook or you can, I'm sure, just search it. And I have read some of Jasmine's blog posts. And can I tell you, there is nothing probably in the last year that I have read that is more impactful than this young lady's blog posts. I think it's just a great example for us of what it means to be living for Jesus, regardless of our circumstances, and to want to share the good news of the gospel. May each of us in the church have that desire. So God has taught me the importance of sharing the gospel. Second, God has taught me through camp, not camp alone, but largely through camp, the importance of serving one another and serving others. John here says, as we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? So John here, and about 21 other verses in 1 John. So 1 John, this is a major theme that carries through it, this idea of serving one another. And serving one another because we love one another, and we love one another because we know the love of Christ. All those things connect. I was reading in preparation for this sermon, and I'll just give you a brief overview of one of the things I was reading. It was a letter by a guy named Tertullian, I think. He was an early Christian author, and he was born in 150 AD. He lived in the Roman province of Africa. And he has a letter. It's 50 chapters long. It's called Apologeticus. And from what I understand, I did not read the whole thing, but from what I understand, the letter is written kind of with a pagan audience in mind. It's a defense of the Christian faith. So it has 50 chapters, and in it, one of the things that he describes as a defense for the Christian faith is just the love that they have for one another. He sums it up in one quote by saying, "Behold how they love one another. They are ready to die for one another." And there are stories of this all throughout history, stories of this in God's word, of Christians who are willing to lay their lives down for their Christian brothers and sisters and for the spread of the gospel. I read quite a while ago, the biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The reason I read that is because I started reading The Cost of Discipleship, which is by him, and in reading some about that book, one of the things that was suggested is you should really read his biography before you get to his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was ultimately executed by hanging by the Nazis in Germany. But he chose, from what I understand, from when I read the biography, in 1939, he was in the United States. He came to the United States, and he was troubled by that because he felt as if he was leaving his Christian brothers and sisters in Germany to kind of fend for themselves. And because he was a leader there, he chose to go back to Germany, where ultimately he would lay down his life for his Christian brothers and sisters. As I said, in 1 John, this is a theme carried throughout the whole book. By my count, 21 verses in this book talk about loving one another and serving one another. And I think it's really important, and I'll say it again, that we connect the dots, that this is only born out of knowing God's love for us. Because once we know God's love for us, once that has become a truth in our life, then our natural overflow of that, our natural reaction, is to show that love through service and through other things to those people around us. People not in the church, but especially people in the church. I don't know about you, but I have realized that probably in my life, I have really taken for granted being able to meet together as a body of Christ. And obviously this last month and a half has shown all of us how important it is and how much we might miss the idea of not meeting together. I've often thought in this last month and a half about persecuted Christians around the world who can't meet together not because of health and safety regulations for their safety, but because of immense persecution. And I think about the loneliness that must be there sometimes, and I just encourage you, as I've been praying for the persecuted church specifically in all of this, that they would just feel connected to the global body of Christ, that they would not feel alone in circumstances where they can't meet, not because of safety, but because of persecution. So it's important, too, when we talk about serving, to understand that the life of a follower should absolutely be marked by a life of service because the Spirit is working in us. But it's also important to remember that we serve each other, but we also serve alongside one another. There have been a couple of weeks now, and I'll call him out for it. Nick Sarlow has, in the middle of his message, broke out in song. I had the opportunity to do that this morning if I wanted to with this little light of mine. But you know, I did that once at Bethel and forgot they recorded it. And then I listened. It was just a campfire song I sung. But then I listened and I said to myself, I am never going to do that again because I do not have the voice to sing solos for people to listen. And I think it's great that Nick can do that. And it just is a silly little example, but it's an example of how, as a church, God has gifted us in so many different ways and gifted us with so many different abilities, both just of this world and also spiritual gifts, that we come together as a body of Christ, and we are able to serve alongside one another so much more efficiently when we work together. And when we realize that serving is not only serving others, but also allowing people to serve us and serving alongside with one another. I think this is really clear in a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As we talk about the importance of serving one another and serving alongside one another, I think there's a really important and timely lesson for us to learn here. As I mentioned earlier, I look across Bethel this morning, and it is very empty, pretty near empty, as well as every other church, as long as they're following the rules, in Ontario right now. But I think this is all a very good reminder to each of us that the church isn't about the building or our programs or this auditorium we get to meet in. And as a church, I think it's a good reminder that we, first off, are concerned with building each other up, which is the church, before we're concerned about building our building up. It's important for us to remember that the church is not the sound system we have here. The church is the people behind the sound system who are working hard to bring us this live stream into our living rooms this morning. The church is not the various programs that Bethel runs. Not Awana, not Sunday school, not youth group. The church is the people who volunteer their time, who work hard to make those programs happen. Our Sunday school teachers, our youth group leaders, our Awana teachers. People praying for those ministries. That's what the church is. The church is not ultimately 686 Black Road. The church is spread all across Sault Ste. Marie and beyond. And I think in this time where we are separated physically, we need to hold on to the fact all the more that we are connected through Christ. And I think it's important for us as a church to step out and make sure that we are serving one another, that we are taking time to reach out, that we make a phone call, that we write a letter, send a care package, whatever it might be. And be encouraged, too, to know that the church is as strong in the midst of this pandemic as it is when we're meeting all here together, because we are ultimately unified by Jesus Christ, who is our head. So the church is meeting this morning, and the church is active and alive this morning. And I pray that as we go out this week, even though we're missing the physically coming together, that we still go out in strength, fired up for the gospel. Thirdly, God, through the ministry at camp, has taught me the importance of living a sincere faith. John ends this passage here by saying, "Let us not love with words or speech, but in action and in truth." I was reading a commentary a couple of weeks ago preparing for another message I was speaking in North Bay, it was on the island, Island Bible Chapel. And I was reading a commentary on Philippians, and the author of the commentary, Guy King, he was introducing the book, and he introduced how Paul started by calling the Philippians saints. And he said, you know, this word kind of indicates how they're set apart, how the church in Philippians is set apart. And he says this quote, and it seems kind of really silly and simplistic at first, but as I read it more and more, it just hit me. It's one of those ones that I actually wrote out, and I kept it kind of in front of me so that I could remember it. And it is this: what a tremendous impression would be made upon the world if only we Christians were what we are. And he was simply saying this, that if we who claim to be Christians live a genuine and sincere faith, there would be a tremendous impact on the world, because we Christians are called out to be different. We're called out to love like Jesus loves us. We're called out to love one another. We're called out to serve and love people who we might even call enemies of the faith. And I think that's just such a tremendous quote when I think of the importance of living a sincere faith on this world. What a tremendous impression would be made upon the world if only we Christians were what we are. This is something that I am constantly challenged with. I would say that it's far easier to talk the talk than to walk the walk when it comes to this concept of living our faith in a sincere way. Love and faith, true love and faith, sincere love and faith are always about action. It doesn't need to be seen actions, and I think it's better for us when it's not seen by a lot of people, but it's always about action. The simple truth is genuine and active faith comes from a genuine and active relationship with Jesus. And camp has been a place where I feel that God just draws me so much closer to Him in a sincere relationship with Him. It's a place that draws me to Him. It's a place where I strive to sincerely love and serve with people of the same mindset. Can I tell you, one of my favorite parts about a week at camp is just after the buses roll out. And that's not because all the kids have left, but it's because of what we do as a staff. Because as a staff, we come together from different locations, different church backgrounds, different ages, maybe some different beliefs in some minor areas. We come together, we huddle around a big birch tree we have by where the buses are, put our arms around one another, and we pray. We thank God for the week we had, and we pray for the campers as they go back home. And that kind of amount of camaraderie and togetherness, it just screams to me the sincerity that there is when we're all striving together towards the same mission, which at camp is to present the claims of Christ through the camping experience. And for us as a church, it should be the same thing, that we strive together to present the claims of Christ, to proclaim the gospel to all who are around us. It's important to live out this sincere faith. I pray that this week, as we leave this live feed and we go and live our lives this week, whether you're going to work or you're laid off, whatever it might be, that we strive to, one, share the gospel. Share it with those people around you. Two, that we strive to serve one another, and remember that we serve alongside one another. And three, that we live a sincere faith, one that people would look at and can't help but say, that person is different, that church is different, and I want to be a part of that. Let's just pray. God, I thank you for your love. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you teach us through your word, and you teach us through places we get to serve. And God, I just pray that as we wrap up the message portion this morning, that God, you would just work in our hearts, work in our lives to just sincerely pursue you. Thank you for your love. I thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We'll be right back. So as I mentioned, I wanted to give you just an update on camp. This week, on Thursday evening, the board of directors with myself, we met, and through a lot of prayer and definitely some tears, we decided that summer 2020 could not operate in the way that we're used to. There would just be too many health regulations and social distancing things that we simply could not run camp with the safety of campers as a priority. So we canceled our summer 2020 season, and this is definitely a difficult thing to do. This has been 60 years now that camp has operated, and this is the first summer that it won't be operating as a summer camp. I would appreciate, as well as the board, I'm sure would appreciate prayer as we go through this season that's going to look a lot different. I'd appreciate prayer for the hundreds of campers who I talked about earlier who will not have a place to come and hear the gospel, at least in the camp setting. I'd ask for prayer for those campers who come year after year, and we see them come year after year, and it's the place that they actually just get to let go and be a kid because they're coming from situations that are just heartbreaking. Remember one boy, we were driving to camp, and just a bunch of things happened that we had to pick him up. And on the way to camp, I brought his counselor, who was his counselor for the last 3 years, and he said to his counselor, "You know, you're the only one I trust." And it's things like that that you see the impact that camp has on lives. And I'm passionate about it because it's obviously a ministry I'm involved in, and it is my job, but I'm passionate about it because I've seen that change in my life. I've seen the community that happens at camp summer to summer. And I'm saddened that people won't get to experience that community this year. However, we also decided as a board that we didn't want to waste this summer completely. So we have some capital projects that we want to try to complete this summer so that we're better prepared in the future to continue to proclaim Christ to young people coming through the gates at camp. And there will be more on this in the coming week, but I would appreciate prayer. I beg for prayer as we look at ways in which we can run camp in such a way this summer that we can get some of these work projects done. The biggest need for us at this point is finances. We have about a $22,000 shortfall in our budget because we are not running a summer program or we didn't run a June program. So that's obviously the only really big chunk of our income for our actual camping is not happening. So we have that to make up, and on top of that, there's about $35,000 in capital costs that we'd like to cover. So that's $60,000 approximately that we're looking to raise this year, really this month, so that we can continue to improve the what's at camp now, just so we can take care of what we have, so we can be good stewards of what we have. So I'm encouraging people. My kind of theme for this year has been it's our 60th anniversary. What if we got 60 people or 60 groups of people to come together and donate $1,000 each? And again, you can certainly email me, you can call me if you have questions about this. If you are somebody at Bethel who usually would give financially for camper sponsorship, I'd ask that you'd transfer that to our capital campaigns for this year. As I said, I'm going to release more information about this so that people can be well informed on what we want to do this summer and why we want to do it. This isn't just, oh, we have time, so let's do a bunch of building projects. These are things that need to get done, and we simply just never have the time at camp to do it. And this summer, we want to take advantage of that. Of course, I want to say that I am so thankful for the support that Bethel has always shown ABK and has always shown me and my family. We love being a part of camp ministry, and we love being a part of Bethel Bible Chapel. So thanks again for listening. Not the ABK update I wanted to give you this morning, but we ultimately know God is still in control, and we are still celebrating 60 years because God continues to be faithful to each one of us. We're just going to end now with a classic camp song from Jeff and team.
We're going to close with a great camp song this morning, Days of Elijah. And before we do that, I just wanted to share a bit of the story behind the song. It was written by Robin Mark back in the 90s, and he was watching a year in review special on TV. It was 1994, and long story short, there were a lot of bad things that happened in that year, and he felt discouraged watching the special and prayed to God, "Lord, are you still in control? What sort of days are we living in?" And the response that Robin got back from the Lord was, "I am in control. These are the days of Elijah, where the people of God are to declare his righteousness and his goodness." And I thought it certainly fits for the times in which we're living now. And we are, as a people of God, to declare his goodness, his holiness, his faithfulness in this time. These are the days of the harvest. What an opportunity we have to show the hope that God has given us through his son Jesus. So I hope that the story enriches your experience of the song and that you sing it with us.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we're the voice in the desert, crying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
Sing, "There's no God like Jehovah."
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
Keep it going.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Oh, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
Have a great week. God bless.